This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz from New York with my friend
Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
What's going on today? What's going on, Rich? How you doing?
Beautiful day out here in California. You know, it's not a million degrees yet, but it's getting into a great summer and really excited. Business is good and everything's really good. How about you?
You miss Mexico?
You know, not really yet. I will in another month, and then I'll be ready to get down there. But it's going to be different. I'm not going as long a time as I was last year. So I'm going to sporadically go between jobs. So anyway, that's going to be good.
All right, cool. Well, we have a lot to discuss today, so let's not waste any time.
And I want to start off by just putting out a shout out to HD Photo Hub. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography business. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious admin time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so, so much, much more. Check out hdphotohub.com to find out more. That's hdphotohub.com. And without further ado, what's going on today, Brian? Who we got? What are we doing?
Yeah, so let's get right into it. Introduce our first guest, our only guest. I said first guest. Our guest is a fellow podcaster, a photographer. Oh, I should say ex-photographer. I just learned that now. Ex-photographer.
We'll get into that.
Business owner.
How can you do that?
Business owner and the presenter at 2022 PFRE conference coming up. Reed Fish from Upmarket Media. What's up, Reed? How you doing?
I am doing good. I'm happy to be with the two legends of the real estate photography podcasting industry. So thank you guys so much for having me. It's a great day. I'm great.
Well, we're not the originals. I don't know if you knew that, Reed, but we interviewed the original guy probably in like episode like 160 episodes again. Yeah. I forgot his name and I truly apologize. I think his name was Michael. If I'm not mistaken,
he's not so legendary then. So yes, you guys are the legends. Come on, let's just be real.
He had a podcast for a while and did a ton of episodes, and I guess it just fizzled out, and then we came along, and now we're what, 150, 160 episodes in.
Yeah, well, podcasts have a habit of fizzling after 100, 150 episodes. Trust us, Reed.
So am I the swan song? Is this it? It's just you guys in a fizzle after?
Not yet. But we're on our way out. So
perfect.
It's just a matter of time.
All right, so Reed, you're based out of California as well as Rich, right? Mm-hmm. But you're more south, right?
We're Southern California. So we're kind of Ventura County, which is about an hour north of LA on the coast, kind of in between Santa Barbara and LA.
Cool. So there's a lot to get into, but what I think is one of the most impressive things about your story, and I learned about your story over the last week and a half because I was driving through the country of Pennsylvania for three shoots last week, and I had hours and hours in the car, and I listened to your new podcast and I heard your story. And what I want to really dive into, probably for majority of the time, even because it's just a fascinating concept, is you went into business with your competitor, which is pretty insane to think about it. So, I guess
if you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah. So let's backtrack a little bit and maybe tell the backstory about your business and maybe his business and how that whole thing came together.
Sure. Well, I'll talk more specifically, I guess, about my business as opposed to Mark, my partner's. But we kind of had a similar trajectory in that we both started our businesses, like 8-9 years ago. So, early 2010s. I'm in a small town called Ojai, which is like half an hour from Ventura down the hill, where Mark is based. But because I'm in a small town, it's kind of a you know, Ojai is one of those towns that's always makes the top 10 list of nicest small towns in America kind of place. So there's a lot of nice homes. I mean, it's got a variety of stuff, but there's not enough to really sustain a whole, you know, real estate photography business. And so I would have clients kind of down the hill more in kind of Mark's hometown. So we were always competing, but there always seemed to be, you know, enough business. And then at a certain point we just kind of got to know each other. And I had grown my business to the point where, it had been, you know, dominating my life, you know, it had gotten, you know, so busy. And then we were able to hire one employee. So we had, another shooter who was doing most of our video stuff. And we just got to the end of 2020 and I just realized like, I can't do this. Like we have to scale or we're going to go crazy.
And I mean, when you say you're referring to you and your wife at the time, right? Who was running the business,
yes.
Not yeah. you and we're, Mark.
And my wife.
I just want to clarify.
That's, yeah, correct. Yeah. So I had always been, my wife, Liz, had been working in the business the entire time, but, and she was kind of more had kind of shepherded in our video product. I was out shooting, but she was home editing. And we both have backgrounds in like film and television. And so, it was kind of a natural fit for her, but you know, we had a baby, we had the whole thing and she could only, you know, do it kind of part-time. And so, one of the first things when we hired an employee that we took off her plate was doing the video editing. And so it was the three of us. So, but Liz had kind of stepped back from the day to day, and especially during the pandemic, you know, we had a 5-year-old, 6-year-old. So it was like, you know, there was just, what are you going to do? We have no family around. So she's just home with the kid. So, there really, we didn't have a lot of options. So we just got to a point where I was feeling overwhelmed, stressed. She was feeling overwhelmed, stressed. And it was like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to scale this business? And I kind of felt like I didn't have the tools, or the energy to do it on my own. And, Mark had been my competitor for years, but a friendly competitor. We had known each other a little bit. And in fact, we had ended up, had started to subcontract some video and 3D work for him because he only offered photography and he was just a complete one man band. And so we had had a bit of a working relationship. And so it was a natural fit and I took him out for beers one day, and didn't even have to get him that drunk. And I foisted it on him of the idea of merging our companies. And then like 6 weeks later we were merged. I mean, it was incredible how quick it happened.
Yeah. I'm always a big proponent of getting to be friends with your competition, especially like in a town where I live. And it's been a great relationship. And yeah, I'd certainly be able to approach any of my competition that I am in touch with if there was some kind of an opportunity. So congratulations on your new endeavor. How long has it been?
It's been almost a year and a half. I mean, we were, our first day of operations as Upmarket Media was, I think, February 11th, 2021. Mm-hmm. So we still feel pretty fresh in the game, actually. So
if I'm not mistaken, because you told this story, you almost met him. You knew about each other, but you met him by accident. He was shooting something like right by your house or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was shooting across the street from my house. It was like the junkiest house right across the street. And it was a realtor that doesn't happen to be my client. And I happened to be home and I saw him out there and I was like, well, I'll go strike up a conversation. So, you know, because as busy real estate photographers, when would we ever have the chance to meet? And you know, and I hadn't had that foresight to kind of reach out and say, hey, let's just go have a beer and, you know, kind of talk shop. Because I viewed him as a competitor, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think I said this in the podcast that when I went out to talk to him, I felt like I was a little bit guarded. But Mark is like such just like an open, great guy. And as we've talked about in the podcast, he's from New Zealand. And so I think the Kiwis have kind of a general demeanor about them that's kind of non-threatening and just open and honest. And he was like, oh, it's so great to meet you. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's plenty of work for everyone. So, you know, he was not threatened in the least. And then he was clearly someone who wanted to, you know, help lift up other people. And I think I had even before that, I think I had referred one of my clients to him. I was going to be out of town. And at that time I didn't have any other shooters. And so I said, well, I think this guy does good work. You should call him. So I think that always stuck out to Mark too, as like a good first entree into to what we're about too. And it's like, we're not, we don't try to be so guarded about everything, but even though I did feel a little guarded that day, but.
Cool. So I mentioned in your intro, and I'm sure people are interested to hear, I know Rich was, cause he was like, explain that one. You're now an ex photographer, quote unquote.
Unofficially, yeah.
So, so how does that work? Want to explain?
Well,
I mean, you were, I guess, unofficially retired from shooting.
Yeah, basically is I just said, forget it. I can't do it anymore. I was burned. And so I guess a little bit of more backstory on even why that was on the table is I never really came at this from a position of like, oh, I'm so in love with shooting interiors or shooting anything really commercially. It was more of just like a side gig to make some money. And I never really had that much technical interest in the genre. I just kind of was able to learn what I needed to learn. And then that was kind of it. I wasn't watching your guys' videos, which I probably should have done. I think it would have enhanced my product, but it was just never like an interest for me.
Rich's videos. So, I don't want to take any credit for that.
Okay.
Right, that's all Rich.
Okay. I appreciate it. Yeah. See, I don't even know. Right. Cause I don't watch them. So, I always just did just enough to get by. And I think I was able to grow our business because I have a personality that I can kind of schmooze and I can kind of be charming. And so I can get, you know, what in those moments when I walk into the house, I can always, you know, make the homeowners laugh and the realtors, you know, as one part of having this business is like, if you are representing the realtor in these houses, and if you can represent them well, they want to use you. And then of course I was reliable and the product was good enough. So I was able to
sound like business. Me.
Yeah.
And, it's like my pitch.
Yeah. And so I just never really had that passion for shooting houses. And I think as time has gone on and as my interest kind of diverged into more of putting into a mindset of how to grow the business, I could feel myself getting grumpier and grumpier and grumpier when I was shooting. And the pandemic really opened my eyes because of course, like so many people, we put in strict COVID protocols and hey, no one can be in the house. Like I wouldn't for a year, I just said, just to make it easy. If there's anyone in the house, I'm not even setting foot inside. And I would stand out on the porch and just wait for everyone to walk out before I would do it.
Oh, I missed those days.
Yeah, exactly. And what you realize of course, is that anytime there's a homeowner in the house, it wastes 10 minutes to 45 minutes of your time. Every single time. I don't care how nice they are. Sometimes even the nicer homeowners waste more of your time. And then having the realtors around is a pain in the ass. There's reasons you want the realtor around. It's FaceTime with your client. You can upsell them, you know, they can be helpful in making sure the property is presentable. But I just found anytime that they're after the pandemic, after we kind of loosened those protocols, anytime there was homeowners or realtors around, man, I could just feel it. I was just like, maybe starting to be short with homeowners or just not being that kind of charming person that a realtor is going to want to have out there. And I felt like, and at the end of 2021, when Mark and I sat down and did our SWOT analysis, which is our strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that we try to do at the end of every year, I thought one of the weaknesses of our business was, I said, owner burnout from shooting. And I said, I think that I am slightly a liability when I am out there, that because I just don't have the right attitude, because I think the stuff I want to be working on is different than the actual doing the everyday grind that we have to of supplying the product that we do. Whereas I had much more interest in setting up kind of systems on the back end of being of marketing. I wasn't even really thinking about the podcast, but it had kind of grew out of the podcast grew out of this moment where I said, hey, I don't want to shoot anymore. And then all of a sudden my mind opened. Oh, what are other stuff we can do? How are we going to be able to make this business bigger? And I thought, well, doing a podcast could help, because I also had been talking to Brandon about potentially speaking at PFRE, and I knew that was kind of on the table. And I said, oh, well, I'm kind of interested in this avenue. I don't know what the end game is, but I know that having the podcast, stepping back from shooting, I think does nothing but help our business. And I'm still going to the networking events. I'm still interfacing with realtors. And so we still have that element. And in fact, I think that's where my strength is in sales and whatever. And if I'm not grumpy from out shooting, then I can go and be the happy read, and, you know, charm all the realtors.
No, look, I think there's something to that. I mean, look, most of us who are photographers, we get into this because we just truly enjoy it. You know, I was telling a buddy of mine, you know, when you're growing up, your parents encourage you, you know, become an attorney, go to medical school, you know, that type of stuff.
Right.
And no parent ever says, go become a photographer. Like, you know, it just doesn't happen. And most of us do this because there's a passion for it.
Sure.
And once you lose that passion, then what, you know what I mean? What are you doing it for? So, and look, if you enjoy entrepreneurship and that's what, you know, you thrive in and running that business, then great. Like, you know, you're going to be much happier.
Yeah. And I never thought I did. That was not really, I never really had an interest in business, but I feel like as it's gone on, I'm like, oh, I can see. I mean, part of it is you see the path of like, oh, this is actually how I can make like real money if we scale, because, you know, you hit your ceiling and you're just like, well, okay, we do okay. But I happen to live in this amazing small town where I cannot buy a house because I've done my part in pushing up home prices so much that they're unaffordable to me. There is that element of what, you know, and I think it really goes back to kind of actually what I'm going to be talking about at PFRE, which is the topic is really scaling your business, but it's really focusing on not only how to scale your business, but why you want to scale your business. And for me, and it was my first pitch to Mark basically was like, I'm pitching you a better life. I'm actually not pitching you more money. I think that can come, but if we come together, what we can do is have a base of revenue that can enable us to have more help. So we're already outsourcing our editing, but let's hire an administrator. Let's hire more photographers. So, because if we can increase our volume, then we can have other people out doing all that work and we can not sit back, but we can get back and not be out grinding it out and work on growing the business. And hopefully have a better life. And so far, like money, the first year and a half has been money wise, probably pretty similar to where we were individually, which is great because I'm making the same amount of money, but working way less.
You're not shooting. So you don't have that grind and the hustle.
Well, and even Mark who's out shooting. I mean, I think he is shooting less and he's working less. And I think it's not only the working less, it's having less mental strain. And I think he put it in one of the podcasts a while back, he kind of said like, oh, I'm just sleeping better because I'm not at the end of the day when my head hits the pillow, thinking about all those 10 things that, oh, who did I get back to? Did I deliver those photos? Did I do that? Because we know that our admin Chelsea has all that stuff dialed in. And if she doesn't, he knows that there's another set of eyes, me, on it. And I know that for him. And it just takes off so much of that mental strain that's kind of what enables us to have a better life.
Reed, when you say you've upscaled, what is what's your particular business doing now? How many people you got? What do you have working for you?
Well, what do we have?
On what level?
Yeah.
How many photographers?
We have, let's see. So we have Mark is still shooting, and then we have three. We had four, but we recently let somebody go, and I think we're thinking about we're kind of interviewing people to kind of replace that person. So I guess we have, you know, four photographers plus Mark, and then two of our photographers also have the video skills, so they can do our video editing. So I feel like we're still like we're baby scaled. Like I think we're we're doing. Whatever. I don't even know. I'm thinking we'll do 1,300-1,400 properties this year. So we're big, but not giant. And where we actually kind of are our first focus on growing, for that first year, especially was Mark had more clients actually than we did, but we kind of made more money or grossed more money because we did video, we did 3D. He was just doing photos. So our first kind of, strategy was to just sell video and 3D to his clients, which kind of worked to a certain extent. And so this year has been more about expanding our client base. And so we've, and in doing that, we've also been increasing capacity as well. So
And are these full-time shooters, or are they just picking up extra work when they need, when you need it?
I would say it's a mix of both. We have two shooters who are almost full-time, and then one is more part-time, but then she's also been kind of chipping in on the admin side, and our admin, Chelsea, is full-time for sure. And then, so yeah, we're almost, you know, I would say they're part to full-time, and it's, you know, we're going to be coming out of the really busy season. So we'll kind of see how it shakes out for the slower season. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm glad you sort of found your own, because as I sort of feel like as residential real estate photographers, we always come into this crossroads at one point in our career where it's like, how do you make more money, but how do you avoid burnout? Because, you know, we all see so many times, and this was never me. I was always more, when I was shooting residential real estate, I was more of a boutique kind of guy where I was shooting more luxury properties, more money, less per week. But, you know, you right. hear of these shooters that are shooting 20 properties a week, and
yeah,
there's no physical way for them to make more money than they are, because yeah. they're working 16 hours a week already. You know, they get to this crossroads where it's like, okay, I've plateaued. This is my max salary I can make. Now I have to make a decision where do I want to go with my business. Don't want to, you know, scale up sort of what like you did, or don't want to go a different route like what I did and go to more commercial type of work and different stuff. So that's the most important thing though, I feel like is figuring that out. And once you figure that out and you can right. run with it, then sky's the limit. So,
yeah. And I feel like there's, and like, you don't have to want to scale your business. And I think one way to do it, if you are passionate about doing photos and passionate about editing photos, then kind of go what you were doing. Try to go more of a luxury route where you're just doing fewer properties and it's not so much of a grind. And like, you know, for us, we're really trying to do the opposite route. Like we don't want more luxury clients really, because it's a pain in the ass. Yeah. And you don't make that, you know, we want the three bedroom, two bath tract house that we can go and do all the services, bill $1,000, and I send two of my guys for an hour and a half. And it's, yeah. I mean, that's the dream,
yeah.
you know? So for me, and you know, it's different for everybody. And that's, and I think as you're scaling, as you're figuring out what you want your business to be, the first thing that you want to ask yourself is like, what do I want? You know, where do I see myself in 5 years? You know, ask yourself that question, you know?
Sure. All right. Before we shift gears, I'm going to say a quick word from a friend at iGUIDE. Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with a state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. And with that, Reid, we touched briefly on it. We teased a little bit. We spoke a little bit about it. You are now a podcaster for the real estate photography industry as well.
That's right.
So, you know, Rich, you and I always preach colleagues over competition. So you're on our podcast. So let's
walk the walk.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the first thing that I would want to say to you guys is I really appreciate that you are willing to have me on the podcast, because I think you're also smart enough to have seen what our podcast is about and seen that it's really trying to occupy kind of a different space than the one that you've carved out for Shooting Spaces. And I feel mm-hmm. like we all know, I think there's room for more than one podcast in this industry. And especially if we all have kind of a different take on things. So I really, truly, think you guys are walking the walk, and I really am thankful that you even will have us on the podcast. And that, I think that speaks really well to both of you. That said, our podcast is Upmarket, the business of real estate photography and media. And it's basically, my partner, Mark, and I, he's on most episodes, kind of walking you through our journey in scaling. And we're kind of taking our listeners along for the ride, and we're talking about what's working, what's not working. We've spent some time kind of getting into the backstory, getting into the why and how of what we're scaling. And then, you know, we're doing like kind of deep drills into certain, into, you know, really, I think we will on all aspects of how to scale a business. Like we've done an episode that's all just about admin tasks, you know, where we just recorded one recently where we walked through our whole process from what happens when a new realtor texts us or calls and wants to book all the way through how, you know, the end of that shoot and how the photos and, you know, media are delivered and, you know, how we follow up with them and, you know, really just taking it through. So you can really see what our admin does and how that takes the pressure off Mark and I. So, you know, and I know we're going to have, you know, like literally we'll have a bookkeeper on, we'll have a lawyer on, we'll have, you know, basically anyone that you can, any kind of facet of our business that you can, think about, is that something we want to drill deep into, and really talk about what are these things that you need to think about in order to scale your business?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much, Rich. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say there's so much, that I want to know, because there's a lot there that goes along with it. And I'm actually thinking more about the nuts and bolts of what would scaling up entail. Would it entail having to do, you know, tax-wise, you know, gift-wise? Do you give gifts at Christmas? Do you get together? And how do you set standards? How do you do consistency and yeah, everything like that? So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to VFRE myself, so I can see, we'll be talking more about all that kind of stuff at PFRE?
At PFRE, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's an hour. And this is a topic that I think can fill hundreds of episodes of a podcast. So I'm really having to drill down into what it is that is the most important thing to get into. And I feel like actually the biggest thing, and I almost was going to call the title of the presentation this, I was going to title Letting Go. Because I think that's the biggest thing that you actually have to do is you have to let go. Because we hold on so tight to so many things. We hold on to, this is the way that my photos have to be. This is the way that I interact with my realtor. Well, if I'm not there, the realtor's going to be, the realtor's going to freak out. And so, no, I have to be there. I have to answer every text. Oh, if I don't get back to them on Sunday night, they're going to find a different photographer. You know, all that kind of stuff. We really need to let go of that and bring other people in. And the more I have let go and not held on tight to any of those things, the more successful my business has been. And so I think as kind of solo entrepreneurs that so many people are in this industry, we're just so used to living in this bubble and holding on so tight. And what we just have to do is let go. So that, I think, is going to be a big part of the presentation, is talking about the why. And because until you can answer the big why for yourself, you're not going to be able to take those concrete steps. And I can't lay out every single concrete step in an hour at PFRE. You know,
you need to do a book. And I think you've got a great title, Letting Go. And I'm going to take credit for that. So you can get up to send me money to do that.
Yeah, please, but
here's the thing. Almost for me, that would come before wanting to hear more. I almost want to know. I get the idea of letting go because it's a big deal with me. I have a really hard time in that respect. But if I could calm myself by understanding more the nuts and bolts and the practicality of it, or the being realistic expectations, that's something that I could do and would work for me. I think that would actually be like putting the cart in front of the horse in some way. But I think, you know, think about it as some kind of an ebook or something that can really go into the nuts and bolts, or a course, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, obviously these are things that we're thinking about, and we have
workshops, scaling workshops. I'm an idea guy.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Rich. Wow. Okay. Yeah. You know, obviously we really literally have nothing, at this point, but obviously as we're finding that the message that we're putting out on our podcast, and I think the message that I originally started talking to Brandon about, you know, after the last PFRE, it's a message that resonates with people. And I think people need this kind of help. And that's why I'm going to be on stage there. And that's why the reaction to our podcast has been so strong. I mean, I've gotten, I had a phone call with someone who, a listener, and they were talking about the podcast and they were like almost crying. And they were saying, this is the first time in a podcast that I have felt seen, that you understand what I'm going through. And what resonated to her was something that we've talked about on the podcast, and I'm going to definitely talk about at PFRE, is this feeling of loneliness that I think so many people in our industry have. Because if you're out there shooting, you're doing the grind, you're in your car all day long, you're out there going from property to property, maybe they're empty, maybe they're not. You're, you know, all you're doing is these realtors are just clawing at you all the time, wanting things, wanting things, wanting things. And then when you do have social time, it's with realtors and they just want to talk about real estate. And then you get home and maybe you're still editing. So you're editing it all night. You're not being able to spend time with your spouse or your family. It can be a lonely business. And I think it's a business that kind of attracts maybe some people who are kind of, you know, kind of loners in a way. But one of the most rewarding things about scaling is I don't feel alone anymore. Not only do I have people that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, and we can have small talk and talk about how the weekend was and all that kind of stuff, but then that feeling of having someone or having multiple people who I know have my back, who when I mess up, when I forget something, it's so easy for me to reach out to Chelsea or reach out to Mark or one of our other employees, and they'll take care of it. And that feeling is the best. And that's, and two, it's like the first year, one of the biggest accomplishments that we had, that Mark and I had, is we each took a 2-week vacation and we literally turned our phones off, which if you're in this business, you know, you can never turn your phone off because real estate never, ever sleeps. And we turned our phones off and we knew that everyone else had our back and was taking care of things while we were gone. And so, I mean, that's it right there. I mean, that's living the dream. And I feel like this notion of having a better life, of having, because I feel like part of a better life is having connection with people, right? And so the more that we can connect with people, the better. And that's why too, it's such a perfect thing for PFRE, because what is the best thing about PFRE? When you go there, it's not the speakers. I mean, great. I hope people who are there can learn something from what I'm going to talk about. And I know I'll learn stuff from other people on stage, but it's that moment where we are able to talk to other people in our industry and make connections. People who understand what we're going through, people who know what it takes to do what we're doing and have that same, have the same problems that we have and same desires that we have. That's what it is. So the more that we can put our businesses in a position to connect with people, that's also how you will get better clients too. If you can actually you can be in a headspace where you're not just so frantic all the time and you can actually make human connection with your clients. Well, guess what? Those are going to be clients that are going to want to keep using you over and over and over again.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. I mean, Rich and I talk about that all the time, that we don't necessarily go to PFRE and, you know, we love all the presentations, but it's more so about, you know, meeting new people, connecting with old friends and just making that connection. Because like you said, and we never really sort of touched on that, Rich, maybe we've mentioned it here or there over the years, but how lonely of an industry this can be. And there's something to that. And I'm glad you brought that to the forefront, Reed, because we don't really focus on that much, but there's something to that, that you're by yourself a lot. And it's gruesome. It's gruesome if you do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, towards the end of my residential real estate photography career, I started bringing my assistant for that reason, just on some shoots, just so I'm literally not by myself all day, especially driving. You're driving all day, you're driving all around town, and make sure you don't fall asleep, whatever the case is. And if it costs you a couple bucks, so be it. But it's tough. And even for me now, like I'm doing, I don't know how much you know about my career. I'm doing a lot of luxury retail space stores all over the country, and I'm flying here and there, and I'm literally going 36 hours by myself. I don't speak to anybody, because, you know, I leave my house, I go to the airport, I'm flying by myself. And yeah, there are people on an airplane, but you know, you're putting your headphones on, you go to sleep, you know, getting to the hotel, waking up at 6 a.m., going to the shoot. There's one other person on the shoot because the stores are not opening at 6 a.m. except for the one person there to open it for you. You know, finishing your shoot, going back to the airport. It's 36 hours by yourself. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's not all roses.
Well, no, not at all.
For me though, I'm on the other end of the spectrum, 30 plus years working with 100 to 200 people on a movie set for 16 to 18 hours a day, it was kind of nice to get out there. And I am a very, as everybody knows, I'm a very gregarious person. I like to talk. I like people. But I still get that with the homeowner. And on the other end of the spectrum, I'm luckily, I placed myself doing very few shoots in comparison to many people. And now it's kind of mostly high-end shoots. So I have the time I am able to do. I have the schedule. It's not a grind for me. And as far as the technical, where you didn't live it, I know personally, I can't be without technology. I can't be without cameras. It's just my build, what I'm. And it's just different. So, but I will say one thing about the PFRE. It was great showing up with 300 people. And I'm lucky because everybody seems to know me because of the podcast, podcast and the YouTube channel. But it is great to get out there and talk about, do you feel the same? You know, oh my God, do you feel the same way I feel? Oh my, don't you hate that? Don't you hate this? And yeah, it is a big part of community and about our social makeup, our physical makeup. But I think it's great if you can find a medium between the two, because it's a wonderful opportunity job. But I absolutely, if you're not really a photographer, I'm a photographer my whole life, but if you're not like that, it can be grueling and thankless, and you get home and you're working too many hours. So I like what you're talking about in your scaling.
And I think to that end, it's different for everybody. And there are people who it's truly, they love it, and they love being out there and doing it, and they love being alone. And that's great. But I've also talked to people who was like, well, I am kind of a loner, but yeah, this is a little much though. You know, so I think that, you know, it's just about, you know, we just have to, and especially coming off the last couple of years, I mean, we just have to make sure that we think about our mental health, and we think about, you know, what we want our lives to be. And those are the big questions that you have to, you know, ask yourself all the time.
At least we're not pest control people, solo pest control.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we have it, in a way we have it bad, but then you can always think of 1,000 jobs worse. So, you know.
But also I think for me, I know for me, it was education too. I mean, going and just talking to other people in the industry. I mean, that's the way you learn more than anything else. I mean, I've personally learned more over the last 4 years of doing this podcast, just interviewing people, than, you know, all of Rich's YouTube videos combined, no offense, Rich, or, you know, even PFRE, because we're just, you know, we're speaking every week to a different photographer who does something completely different in a different part of the country or even world for that matter. We've interviewed people all over the world. You're just learning so much, and that's just talking to other people is the best way to just get out there and learn more.
And honestly, that's one of the things about our podcast that was attractive for us to do it, because we said, okay, even if there is no end game, if there's no book or course or, you know, whatever, and who knows, that remains to be seen, obviously, that there is value for us in doing this podcast, because we will learn about our business and we will learn about the business. Because I know that every time Mark and I are able to even just sit down and talk about our business, whether it's on a podcast or not, we're learning things, we're figuring out things, and that's valuable time for us to spend together. And so we said, well, what if we just record it? Well, even as we talk stuff out, we're reminded, okay, oh my God, we got to do this, we got to do that. Or it's a chance for us to really talk about, oh, this is working, this isn't working. And then when we do have kind of other people on, and then we're also able to learn from them. So for us, we think we have knowledge that we can share with people that will be useful for people, but we're very selfishly also in it for ourselves, that we feel like we're going to be able to learn so much just from doing the podcast.
Sure. And that's what I love about your podcast, actually, is that you're not getting on the mic and sort of preaching. You're not saying, if you want to scale your business, do this, 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 and this. Right. In episode one, and then in episode two, do this, 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 and this.
Right.
You're basically telling people your story and your journey, and this is what happened to us, and this is, you know, the repercussions of what happened to us, and these are the mistakes we made, and this is how we fixed it. And you're telling people real world situations that happened to you and how you scaled your business, versus saying, we're the experts here. If you want to know how to scale your business, follow our instructions.
There's one or two people who are saying the other thing, I think, out there. And I think we all know who, but because I think, and that's why I think sometimes those messages don't resonate, that, oh, if you, you know, it, like, we work with 200 giant agencies and we do, and you know, whatever other tech jargon you want to throw in there, marketing jargon, it doesn't resonate for me anyway, because there's no connection. And I feel like what we're trying to do is create, like we've just talked about, we're trying to create connection with our listeners. We're trying to create connection between Mark and I. And then that's the way that you can actually really communicate. You know, so much about life, so much about anything is about having clear lines of communication. And that's one of the things that we really have stressed and talked about in the podcast with of how it works with our admin and why it's successful is because we have these open lines of communication that we're always on Slack or we're always, or, you know, whatever we do, it's having everyone on the same page is just so helpful. And just having, you know, having the, I'm losing my train of thought. I probably had some brilliant thing to say, but all right.
Okay. Well, listen, I just want to jump in before we are wrapping this up, but before we end, are you fed up with the inconsistency and poor communications from your current editing company? I know I would be. PhotoUp is changing the way traditional outsourcing is done by allowing you to work directly with experienced editors on our team. Work one-on-one with a dedicated editor will learn your style and preferences, so you never have to worry about inconsistent edits again. Head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces to sign up for an account and test out 3 different editors for free. That's right. Upload 10 images to 3 different editors and you can choose the best editor and start working with them immediately. So check out photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link in Shooting Spaces website. That's photoup.net. And with that, Brian.
Yeah. As we
like that segue, know. I like that.
Yeah. No, Rich, that was a pro segue.
You can learn, brother Reedfish. You can learn. Okay. That just doesn't have. It only took me 4 years to get there.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, good. I'll get there someday.
So before Reed, you say goodbye. Why don't you? Because we didn't do this at the beginning. Why don't you give people your website? Social media handles, ways for people to find you, see what you're all about, links to your podcast, different stuff like that. So people can look you up and see where everything is.
Those are really good ideas. So we're Upmarket Media on Instagram, which is kind of the biggest one, of course. And then our website is upmarket.media. That's .media, not .com. And then you can find our podcast. It's called Upmarket as well. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. And we also at our podcast website, which is upmarketpod.com. Those are kind of the best ways to find us.
Okay, cool. And we'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes so people can find you. And with that, Reed, we want to thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Oh, I'm looking forward to, I mean, I know you said you were at PFRE last year, but I guess we didn't really have a chance to meet or talk. Looking forward
I saw
to-
you, but I ran. We're going to be, Mark and I will be there. I think Chelsea might be there too. So, we're definitely looking forward to meeting everybody and definitely we'll, have a drink at some point, hopefully.
Awesome. And speaking of PFRE, Rich, you and I have some workshops going on this year, huh?
Yeah. I've got my residential workshop going on the Monday of the week of PFRE.
Yep.
And you're on Tuesday.
I'm on Tuesday doing commercial real estate photography. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's going to be pretty exciting. And I think we're going to be at each other's workshops. So, you know, we'll be there to help out. You'll be there to help me out. I'll be there to help you out. It should be a pretty exciting day for each of us.
You know, it's just going to be a fun way to spend your time and promise you it'll be fun. So that's going to be great. And I look forward to meeting you as well. I'll look for the guy. Are you always in white glasses? If you're not watching this, if you're not on YouTube, Reed has these fantastic white glasses with white earbuds in his ears. So I'm going to look for you.
These are actually like seafoam color. They're not actually white. So I got the cheap glasses. I got a lot of different colors. So, and these are just readers. That's my life right now. So I may or may not, I'll probably have colorful shoes and I'm a giant person. So I think you'll know who I am. And I will also be on stage with a big spotlight on me. So I think you'll be able to spot me.
Great.
Cool. Looking forward to it. What else we got, Rich? We have some Ask the Guys questions. Please submit your Ask the Guys questions. We need to fill the content for the rest of the season. So if you have any, go to shootingspacespodcast.com. There's a little widget there. You can send us a question and Rich and I will do our best to answer or get someone on that can. What else we got? We got some courses.
Well, we had a fantastic webinar, managing color casts with yours truly, Rich Baum, at the helm. And we're going to be having other webinars coming up. A lot of educational information. And don't forget our courses. We have commercial real estate photography with Brian Berkowitz and residential real estate with Rich Baum. And these are full-on multi-hour courses. And you can learn from that. And if you just go to shootingspaces.net and you can see all of our wares and our webinars and our presets and sky replacements, you name it. But it's all good stuff. And we're always out there trying to elevate everybody so you can do your business. You can get big and then scale up with Reed and you know, it's all good though, right? Okay. Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much, Reed. And thank you all out there for joining us. And I just want to say, besides having a great day, go out there and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.